He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the December the 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had a pretty good pop out of the gate, and it's already starting to fade, however. The Dow is up 59. It was up a couple hundred not that long ago, but up 58 right now. 30,461 on the Dow, well above that 30,000 level, which may be the new floor that you want to keep your eye on from a technical point of view. The NASDAQ was positive by about 70 points. What happened? Just like that, the balloon popped. The air came out of the tires. It's down 16 right now, 12,883 in its quest for 13,000 by year end. I don't know if it's going to make it. Tomorrow is the last full day of trading for the year, then a half a day on Thursday. The Russell 2000 is back below 2000. It's at 1982, down 14 today. The rally in the small cap starting to lose some steam also here in the last few days. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is up 6, 3741. Pretty strong chart there on that S&P 500. Crude oil is down, actually up 40 cents, 48.02. Gold is up 250 to 1883. Silver minus 22 cents to 26.32. We need to keep our eye on the bond market. You know, that 0.95 really is resistance. Every time you get close to that, I think the Fed comes in and starts buying bonds. They're not going to let it break above that. It would seem 0.94 on the 10-year, and Bitcoin is up $425 per coin today to $26,658. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got one more full day of trading. That will be tomorrow. A half a day on Thursday, and then we will come back next Monday to begin a new year of trading for the market. What a year 2020 has been. What will 2021 bring? Well, we'll see. 2020 brought in COVID, something we never expected. There's never a year that comes along where something big doesn't happen that was never expected, and I expect more of the same next year. Well, yesterday, you know, one thing I did see that was encouraging, I saw a rally in the big tech stocks, which I haven't seen for a while. The FANG stocks, I saw a nice jump higher in Facebook and Amazon and Apple. Apple's kind of got a little bit of new life these days as they join the electric vehicle sector. Electric Avenue, that's been a hot area of the market here recently. I saw a nice pop in Microsoft yesterday. I saw a nice pop in Netflix. The streaming stocks, very strong yesterday. I guess Wonder Woman did pretty well on Christmas Day, not going to the theaters, but going straight to streaming. Maybe it was concurrent. Maybe some theaters showed it also. And I even saw a nice pop in Google yesterday. I saw a continued sell-off in the Chinese stocks yesterday with the issues regarding Jack Ma, Alibaba, Chinese Communist Party, etc. We're seeing a little bit of a rally, however, today in the Chinese stocks. The Dow yesterday was up 204 points. We also had Trump's surprise approval of the $900 billion stimulus bill. You know, he was threatening on Christmas Eve, the Grinch that stole Christmas, of taking away the $600 check and the continuation of those unemployment payments, benefits. Instead, he wants a $2,000 per person check. And, of course, that was passed yesterday by the House. Well, the Democrats currently control the House and will for some time. It was going to be up to the Senate today, where the Republicans still hold sway. We'll see if they continue to hold sway. That comes down to two Senate seats in Georgia. Is that January the 6th, I want to say, is that election there in Georgia? David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler, and the two Democrat challengers. Well, they call it the Santa Claus rally. And so far, it has been a Santa Claus rally. Now, here's what the Bears are saying right now. And I would agree with some of this. Ominous parallels have been made between this market and the internet bubble. Well, I was a front row spectator and witness and participant in the internet bubble. I'm glad to have had that experience. And the Bears say a correction could at least be in the cards. Well, you know what? They've been saying that for the last 12 years. Valuations are also stretched beyond memory. This is true. I reported in my newsletter last week that the forward PE of the S&P 500 currently stands at 22. This is as high as it gets. Now, Barry made an interesting comment. He sent me a tweet yesterday. He said, well, Bill, if you go back to the year 2000, April, interest rates were a lot higher than where they are today. What does that mean? Well, let's first take a look at those numbers. If you go back to the dot-com bubble in April of 2000, that's when it peaked. The NASDAQ peaked at about 5,200. The interest rates on the 10-year were 6%. In other words, there was a good alternative to stocks. Hey, we should have been all over that 6% 10-year yield. I mean, you could have made a ton of money in the ensuing years as interest rates drop, and the value of your bonds went up. Okay, so with a very good alternative to stocks at that time, a lot of money left the market, left the dot-com bubble. And I would say that the quality of the stocks that were going public at that time were a lot lower than they are today. Now, fast forward to 2020, where you have the 10-year under 1%, 0.95. Compare that with the 6% back in 2000, 20 years ago, almost 21 years ago now. You don't really have an alternative to stocks unless it's crypto, unless it's Bitcoin or blockchain stocks. That seems to be the alternative, genomic stocks, solar stocks, wind stocks, etc., hydrogen fuel cells. That seems to be a much more attractive alternative right now, and the Fed is part of the gasoline that is on this fire right now by maintaining such low interest rates. Okay, what else do the Bears say? Well, you know, they've been watching these recent IPOs, runaway shares like DoorDash, Airbnb, Snowflake, etc. Even the CEOs of these companies are expressing bewilderment over their stock prices. Now, here's what the bulls say. Assurance from the Fed that it will continue to ease, it will continue those easy money policies. You've heard the expression, don't fight the Fed. And with interest rates under 1%, that makes people look for alternatives to those low interest rates. The bulls also say retail investors who have piled into the market this year also seem to be a driving force for the market's upward trajectory. Well, I would say this about that. It won't take much of a correction for those Robin Hood investors to go fleeing for Sherwood Forest. Believe me, they will panic big time when it happens, especially in those Bitcoin, blockchain, wind, solar, Chinese electric flying vehicles, etc. Now that the here's what else the Bulls say. The contentious presidential election is now over, and a national vaccine rollout further signals the start of an eventual return to normal. Well, every week in my newsletter, I go over my current big picture market outlook. I've been right for the last 15 years or so since I started doing my market outlook. If I were to not read any other section of Bill Gunderson's weekly newsletter, I would go first to that macro outlook and look at my target prices and my current stance on the market going forward. You can get 2 weeks free of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio. Boy, the NASDAQ just went south in a hurry. It's down 44 right now. It was up 70 coming out of the gate, stumbled out of the gate, and fell back. It was down about 70. Now it's down 40. So it's all over the map right now. End of the year volatility, that's usually kind of typical. You get tax loss selling. You get people locking in what they think might be the last chance at 20% capital gains tax rate. Who knows? You've got mutual fund pension money, 401k money coming into the market, etc. Lots of forces in these last few days of 2020. The Dow is hanging on barely by its fingernails to a 30-point gain. There's been some weird stuff going on here in the market, almost like a little bit of individual stock manipulation. Yesterday, for instance, I saw a stock that was up 549%. RHE. It's just a little real estate investment trust, Regional Health Properties. And they invest in long-term healthcare, senior living. It's a total micro-cap stock. It's only $5 million in market capitalization. Even the CEO says, I have no explanation for why our stock went up 549%. Okay, well, there was another one, and this one went up 1,300% yesterday. I hope the SEC is looking into this. Aero Century, they lease used aircraft. Okay, that's a big growing business in today's corona environment, coronavirus environment. It was up 1,300% yesterday. The company confirmed its ACY as the symbol in a press release that is not aware of any undisclosed material change or development in its business. What is going on? Then I noticed one today. You. No, not me. You. They make residential smoke alarms. Tiny little company. Up 303%. What the heck is going on there? I don't know. I don't have an explanation for you, but it's very weird. All right, let's talk about the $2,000. You know what? If you've got some kids, you could really make out on this thing. This is called the Cash Act. This is what the House passed yesterday. I don't think the Senate's going to pass it, but we'll see. Anything's possible. The Cash Act would boost the amount awarded for each dependent to $2,000. In other words, a family of four would get an $8,000 second stimulus check instead of a $2,400, which is $600 per person. It would also include an additional amount for older children, elderly parents that have moved in, or anyone else that one supports and can claim as a dependent on upcoming tax returns. Moreover, the legislation retroactively amends the law authorizing the first round of stimulus checks so that all dependents would qualify for the extra $500 allowed for children age 16 and younger. Now, we've got a family down the street. They live in a nice home. I mean, a nice, just nice little, not a great big home. They have 12 kids. Wow. If they got $2,000 each and $2,000 for each, that's $28,000. Hey, move the grandparents in, too. We'll get it up to $32,000. What will the Republicans do? Well, it's a fluid situation. Stay tuned for imminent developments. They're obviously running out of time. You know what one of the worst charts in the market is right now? The U.S. dollar. Yeah, take a look. UUP. If you want to invest in the U.S. dollar, you can invest in that ETF, UUP. The continued weakness of the dollar signals that the worst of deflation fears may have ended. Remember when we were worried about deflation? Well, we almost got there, but not quite. And now we're worried, I would say, more about inflation than we are deflation. You would think with all the money printing that the Fed has done and the massive amount of debt that we've racked up, you would think inflation would be more of a threat than deflation. Well, the falling dollar seems to affirm that. We don't have inflation yet, but the fear of deflation is gone. That's helping the bank stocks. Not a segment of the market that I have much interest in. Why? The banks need higher interest rates. They need more spread. They need more spread between that bid and ask, between how much they borrow money and lend it out. There's very little spread in there right now. I'm not a fan of the bank stocks at all. Well, we had the busiest air travel weekend since March. You know, that's moving in the right direction, at least. I guess a lot of people did not follow CDC guidelines and, not gather as a family. Travel technology company Sabre is surging after the TSA revealed that 2.4 million people, that's not very many, really, in a country of 330 million, moved through the turnstiles last weekend. Down 50% from last Christmas, 50% from last Christmas, but the busiest weekend of air travel since March. AstraZeneca, well, we're still waiting for a third vaccine. They are expected to receive emergency nod within days, maybe from the UK and India. We'll continue to track that. That would certainly speed up the process of getting enough people vaccinated to reach herd immunity. Moderna secures a $2 billion Army contract for their COVID-19 vaccine. That thing's being rolled out. What will the bond market do in 2021? Here's what the Wall Street Journal thinks. Expect the Fed to limit long-term Treasury yield gains. In other words, they don't think it's going to move too far from where it is right now. The 10-year recent 0.95% yield, it's increased from the lows it hit earlier this year, but it's still near its historic nadir, reflecting investors' uncertainty over the economy's strength once the pandemic recedes and whether higher inflation will gain traction. It just seems like every time that you see interest rates head a little bit higher, I think the Fed is coming in and buying back bonds to keep those interest rates low. That's what it looks like to me. Now, at the end of the day, the market determines interest rates, but you're fighting the Fed with their balance sheet trying to go the other way with interest rates. Cyber defense, is that the next big area? What's more important, an aircraft carrier or cyber defense? Joe Biden calls for modernizing cyber defense after the SolarWinds breach and not be so reliant on older types of military stockpiles. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll come back with some Best Stocks Now. Why not? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our Dow clinging to a gain. I got a hunch we're going to go negative here pretty soon. We're up 9. 30,412. You've got the NASDAQ down 20 right now. That's where we're at currently on the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Well, I am seeing some action, pretty good action, in the FANG stocks once again. I've been saying for the last several weeks that we've really had a big rally in the speculative area of the market, the high-risk area of the market. That's part of that reminiscent of 2000 chatter that you're hearing from other people in addition to me. Big speculative moves sometimes occur at the end or towards the end of a rally, which has been going on since March, late March of this year. But it can continue. You know what? You take it one stock at a time. That's my way of doing it. Now, normally when you have a big correction, it takes everything with it, okay? But still, I learn much more by looking at 100 stocks, for instance. I normally look at hundreds of stocks during a day. I get much more, a much better feel for the market of what's underneath the current of the market than by just looking at the indexes and just reading what the pundits are saying. This whole China thing with Alibaba, you know, they're out to get him, it would seem. Alibaba is rebounding today, however. I do not own Alibaba. It is up 5.3% today. There does seem to be some sort of a rebound today in this big sell-off. And, you know, it has spread to other Chinese stocks. But I don't think China's going to shoot themselves in the foot for too long. They are heavily invested and big owners in a lot of these stocks themselves. But they certainly have their sights, they're aimed right directly at Jack Ma and Alibaba and Ant Group, which is also owned by Alibaba. Well, you know what's coming? New drone rules. And there's a few stocks that we've been following. I'm going to mention one here in a minute that's getting really big on that. You know what? I mean, drones have come a long ways. We have a little one. You just throw it up in the air, and you can control it by waving your hand, and it will follow you around and whatnot. But I think where the drones are really going to come in to play, this last-mile delivery. I don't know how it will work. I mean, some packages are heavy. That seems to be one area that they're looking for to use drones. Obviously, surveillance is a big, big one. Who knows who's surveilling on us? We were having a meeting downtown one time on the 19th floor of the AT&T building as a company. We saw a drone fly right up to our window, hover there for about a minute or two, and then left. I guess the meeting was boring or we didn't have any pastrami sound. I don't know, but the drone left. I've seen him around town here, drones hovering over cities and whatnot. But the other big one would be the transportation. And there's a couple of stocks. I want to talk about one in particular here in a minute. Federal officials have launched new drone rules that could help open the skies for widespread commercial deliveries, allowing operators to fly small drones over people and at night under certain conditions. The regulations will give the FAA and law enforcement a handle on what's actually flying around in the skies. Think of the danger, too. I mean, spying on people in their homes. They could be carrying weapons. There's a lot of unsavory things that could happen here, requiring remote identification technology to pinpoint them on the ground. meet the remote ID standard. The new rules will eliminate requirements that drones be connected to the internet to transmit location data, but they must broadcast a remote ID message via radio frequency so that law enforcement knows where they are. Okay, so anyways, we've got a few stocks here. I'm just going to bring up one, this EH. You had to go to their website. It's pretty interesting. Okay. EHang is the name of the company. EHang. It's a Chinese company, but you can see the kind of vehicles, flying vehicles. They announced today the launch of their own autonomous urban air mobility services with strategic partner Greenland Hong Kong, an HKEX-listed, Hong Kong Exchange-listed real estate company. Well, that is another, you know, obviously photography. You know, you can tour a home. You see a lot of, I've seen a lot of tours of certain areas done by drones, etc. The trial service for EHang, which is EH on the stock exchange, includes an aerial sightseeing program, aerial media shows, which will be rolled out in the partner's tourism real estate project located in Zhaoqing, a popular tourist destination in the city of Guangdong, China. But even more importantly, EHang is getting involved in express delivery. EHang Holdings, EH, was up 7% yesterday, or is up 7% today on news of China's first industry standard for express delivery service by unmanned aircraft. Jointly formed by EHang, JD.com, and ZTO Express, that's another one I keep my eye on, that's a big transportation company out of China, the standard is said to bring significant improvement in the last-mile delivery service, ensuring the safety of operations as well as promoting the UAM industry. Let's check in on EHang today, EH. It's hanging in there. It's down 2% right now. But go to ehang.com if you want to see the vehicles of the future. It's pretty interesting. Okay, crypto. The Bitcoin stock sold off a little bit yesterday. There was a hack. A company by the name of Voyager Digital was hacked overnight. That's one of the issues that you have with Bitcoin, but they're on the march again. Let's take a look at GBTC today. That is the Bitcoin. That's the best way probably to get exposure to Bitcoin if you want it. It's an ETF. It's down 5.7% today. But yesterday, the Bitcoin stocks had another big day. Tesla is working to add Apple Amazon Music to their in-car system. Elon Musk sent out a tweet yesterday. Entertainment will be critical when cars drive themselves. Well, you know, it's kind of boring just sitting there looking out the window if you're going on a six-hour drive and your car is driving you. Well, you want to be watching movies and listening to your music, maybe working on your laptop. Tesla wants to integrate Apple Music, Amazon Music into its user interface. It already has Spotify. This integration would allow drivers to play their streaming music through the in-car system without using their phones to play over Bluetooth, which is currently a feature. Well, I hope they're also listening to Best Stocks Now podcast, one of the most popular financial podcasts out there right now. Last week, Bloomberg reported that Square may be looking to purchase Jay-Z's music streaming service Tidal. Apple is also heading into the self-driving car space. I said, you know, this could help Apple's multiple. You see, the P.E. ratio on Tesla is a heck of a lot higher than Apple. I guess Teslas are a little sexier than iPhones. Apple, meanwhile, attempting to break out to new all-time highs, but running into its old all-time high of $138 per share. Of course, that's split adjusted. Nikola's getting a little bit of a lift here today. Man, they had a controversial year. It all came crashing down like the Hindenburg when the Hindenburg put out a short report calling CEO Trevor Milton the fraudster. Trevor Milton resigned not too long after that. GM backed out of one of their big deals that they had going with Nikola. And Nikola's up 3%. J.P. Morgan predicts a less drama-filled 2021 coming from Nikola, NKLA. When we come back, we're going to go in a totally different direction with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the Dow just does not want to go red. It's up 10 points, 30,417. The S&P is up 3.5. The Nasdaq's down just 11 right now, seeing strength in the Chinese, the big Chinese stocks. Well, we're going to actually feature a large cap dividend payer, one of our largest holdings here at Gunderson Capital. It had a really good day yesterday, but before we do that, I just want to mention a couple others on my radar here, all right? Porch.com, P-R-C-H, is a recent SPAC, S-P-A-C, of course, Special Purpose Acquisition Corp Vehicle, blank check company. What they did was they invested in Porch Group, which provides online real estate services. And, of course, real estate services are a hot industry right now. Real estate is hot. Inventory is slim. Interest rates are down. The migration out of the big cities to the burbs continues. And a lot of the lockdown states also are seeing a lot of outflow of people that are just kind of fed up with it all. Porch Group kind of positioned nicely. I don't own it, but I'm going to keep my eye on PRCH. Now, yesterday, Google made a splash. They're beefing up their Google Pay to try to take a bite out of Square and PayPal's big market share in the payments business. One of my favorite stocks in that industry continues to be MasterCard, one of the great IPOs of all time. MasterCard went public clear back in, 2006 at $4 per share, $5 per share, $4 per share, somewhere in there, split adjusted, 2006. You could have picked up MasterCard at $4 per share. Today it's $345 per share, and I still like MasterCard MA. MasterCard is now a $345 billion company. What better city could it be headquartered in than Purchase, New York? Purchase, New York. MasterCard.com, obviously, their website. They also pay a dividend, not a big fat one, but a 0.5%. I like companies that are growing their earnings still, pay a dividend for, this is for my dividend and growth portfolio, and have the, you have the chance for that dividend to keep growing over time, because MasterCard's earnings over the last 5 years have been growing at a rate of 22% per year. You're not going to find that in all. It's pretty rare to find that in a $345 billion market cap company. But we do own MasterCard, and here's why. In my Best Stocks Now system, which combines combines valuation with momentum, I can still call this at growth at a reasonable price. Its peg ratio has increased to 2.5. But having said that, MasterCard has always traded at a fairly premium PE multiple. Why? Well, it's not growing by 1% a year like AT&T or IBM. It's been growing by 22% per year. You're going to command a higher multiple when you have growth like that. Furthermore, going forward, MasterCard is expected to continue to grow by 17% per year over the next 5 years. When I use my valuation formula, I come up with a five-year target price of $6.54. In fact, I wrote an article about MasterCard maybe a year and a half ago. Check and see how my target price, what my target price was back then, how far it's come since then. I wrote about MasterCard even way before that. It's been one of the biggest winners in our portfolio over the years. We currently own it in both our premier growth portfolio and our dividend and growth portfolio. It qualifies for both of them. And it's got some pretty good alpha over the years. Over the last 10 years, MasterCard has almost tripled the returns of the market. I'm sure you're saying, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Over the last 5 years, it's also tripled the returns of the market, of the S&P 500, and over the last 3 years has quadrupled the returns of the market. This year, it's about even with the returns of the market. You know, 2020, I would say stocks like MasterCard were held back by the pandemic, spending not what it has been at restaurants and travel and whatnot, leisure. So MasterCard over the last year is up 15%. The market's also up 15%. However, I like MasterCard on its valuation right now, and it looks like to me that it's starting to maybe break out once again. So we'll make MasterCard MA our featured stock of the day. We're working this week. You can reach one of my advisors. I continue to put new money to work that's been flowing into us pretty much all year long, and I certainly do enjoy it. I don't throw all your money in the market the day your new account hits, no. We, as stocks show up that I already own and I like, maybe they've pulled back recently or maybe they're starting to break out of a technical pattern and still highly ranked, I'll go in and buy it for all my new clients. And I do the same thing with my subscription service. When I make any buys or sells, even if it's in an existing stock, I send that out via a live push notification or email. That's my live trading service, which also includes my newsletter, which you can get for free 2 weeks. Check it out. See how we've done in 2020. Give us a grade. If you had an app grading advisors, what grade would you give Gunderson? I know what TipRanks gives me. They give me 5 out of 5 stars, which is very difficult to achieve. And I'm especially proud this year, in a year that was anything but predictable. We've had some very unpredictable returns this year. Very, very happy with those. And we're going to do everything we can to keep it up in 2021. A good way to begin with us is to check out the newsletter. Been publishing it for 23 years. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. It has the portfolios and what we own in it. There's a good place to start. And if you're just ready to talk to one of our advisors, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.